It is 9:32, and this is KFFR Winter Park Community Radio for the Fraser Valley and the headwaters of the Colorado River at 88.3 FM and streaming worldwide at kffr.org. My name is Stacy Stein, and we are joined on the phone by Jason Kleckler. He is the CEO of Middle Park Health. Jason began his career as a registered nurse, and he has served as a registered nurse in emergency departments, ICUs, and inpatient psychiatry units. Most recently, Jason served as CEO of Delta County Memorial Hospital, a not-for-profit rural hospital in Delta, Colorado. And in that time, he guided the hospital to become a top 100 rural community hospital in 3 years running. And in April of 2019, Jason, at the time the CEO of Delta County Memorial Hospital, was recognized as 60 Rural Hospital CEOs to Know by Becker's Hospital Review for the third year in a row. He is now the CEO at Middle Park Health. Welcome to the show, Jason. Good morning.
Good morning, Stacy. Thank you very much for having me on today.
You're welcome. Tell us how patient numbers have changed at Middle Park Health Centers during the pandemic.
Yeah, that's a good question. It's been an interesting process because you certainly hear on the news about hotspots across the nation and certainly across the world where hospitals have been overwhelmed with COVID patients or people with respiratory illnesses. It's been a different experience for us here in Middle Park and throughout Grand County. And, you know, we have not seen a surge of respiratory illnesses like they have in other places. And therefore, we have seen a pretty significant drop in our volumes because people have been delaying time-sensitive surgeries. Or they have been practicing the stay-at-home or safer-at-home order, so they're not coming out for some of the, you know, routine lab work, routine visits to the providers and to their PCPs. So overall, we've seen, you know, since the middle of March when this really started to ramp up, we've seen about a 50% decrease in our ER volumes, probably a 80% decrease in our clinic volumes, and probably about a 70% drop in our OR volumes.
What impact has this had on hospital finances?
Yeah, that's a good question as well. And, you know, first off, going into this pandemic, the hospital was in good position, especially for a rural hospital. So, you know, the finances were in a place that we could weather some of these downturns in volumes. However, you know, typically you see payment from services, you know, somewhere around 45 to 90 days after the bill has been submitted to the insurance company. So we are anticipating a drop in our finances for the month of April, and also very likely in May and probably trickling into June as well. That being said, we've made some very wise decisions to make sure that our hospital remains viable. We have continued to provide services to the community in a safe way. And there's also quite a bit of funding that I think people are aware of that is coming out of the stimulus legislation. Two waves have been passed so far and more are coming, and those funds certainly do help us to move through this pandemic response.
How does hospital funding work? Is it like people go to the hospital, they get a bill, or the bill goes to the insurance, and then the hospital is directly reimbursed? Or is there a larger kind of lag time before the insurance carriers reimburse the hospital for services?
So it works a little bit differently depending on what the insurance is. So we certainly deal with Medicare and Medicaid government insurances, and we also are dealing with some commercial insurances. So yes, typically, let's say a routine visit to your primary care physician, the patient comes in, is seen by their provider, and then the bill is submitted to the insurance company, and the insurance company processes that and then submits a reimbursement directly back to the hospital. Some insurances pay faster than others. Some, you know, are within 30 days. Others can be upwards of 120 days, if not longer. So it just kind of depends on what the insurance company is.
How does the reimbursement rate vary between Medicaid, Medicare, and private insurance carriers for, like, let's say someone or maybe three people had the exact same procedure done? How does the money sent back to the hospital for that procedure vary depending on whether they are on Medicaid or whether they're using private insurance?
Yeah, so that also varies somewhat widely. And I like to talk about it as percentage of charges. So if we charge a dollar for something, what percentage of that does the insurance reimburse? Most commercial insurances reimburse probably somewhere between 75 and 90% of our charges. Medicaid is probably the lowest, and it reimburses us probably right around 30% of our charges, or 30% on the dollar. And Medicare is slightly higher, maybe 35 to 40%. So it does vary widely, and I think one thing that's important to understand is we are rarely, if ever, reimbursed 100% of our charges.
How many, do you know kind of an estimation of the percentage of patients who are using commercial insurance and who are using Medicaid and Medicare for their insurance?
Yeah, I would say that we have a little less than 20% on Medicaid, probably about 40% on Medicare, about 40% commercial, and then probably somewhere between 10 and 12% that or uninsured or private pay.
So how does the hospital get reimbursed if they are kind of charging a dollar and getting between, you know, 30 to 75 cents of that back from the different insurance carriers?
It can be challenging. Hospital reimbursement, hospital charges are certainly something that is talked about quite frequently in the news. And unfortunately, it is a pretty complex formula that we deal with on a regular basis. So, you know, as a hospital, what we need to do is make sure, first and foremost, we're providing access to quality care for the community that we serve. But we also need to make sure that we are staying on top of all the billing and coding changes, that we are submitting bills in a timely manner so that we can be reimbursed in an appropriate time frame. It's very important for all hospitals, but especially rural hospitals, to run as efficiently as possible so that we can, you know, control our expenses, knowing that the reimbursement continues to be a challenge. That being said, there are also, you know, quite a few programs out there that assist rural hospitals to continue to provide care. And, you know, one of the big ones for us is being designated as a critical access hospital, which does help us financially and helps us to remain viable to be able to serve our community. But we are constantly looking at programs like that that not only can help us improve quality and efficiency, but can help us with funding to make sure that we're able to continue our operations and also grow when it's appropriate and when it's needed.
We're talking to Jason Kleckler. He is the CEO of Middle Park Health. Jason, How would a universal healthcare system impact the way that Middle Park Health is funded?
You know, I think on one level, it would probably make it a lot easier if there was only one health insurance program that we dealt with. It would certainly simplify things. I think it would also just depend on what that payment model would be based off of and what benefits would be going back to the individual, what was included in that healthcare plan. You know, did it have, you know, a premium that was, you know, attainable for them? Does it cover inpatient, outpatient services? What is their out-of-pocket expense? Those kind of things. I do think that there are some successes throughout the world with a single payer system. I think it's going to be challenging in our environment here in the United States to move in that direction, but there certainly are quite a bit of movement on that. I think that really what I would like to see is a statewide or, you know, potentially nationwide plan that, you know, allows somebody or an employer the opportunity to provide commercial insurance to their employees, but a public option, so to speak, that would be more attainable for people that maybe have a small business or don't qualify for some of the commercial insurances or Medicare, Medicaid. And I think that program needs to really be focused on, one, providing well-rounded care and affordability. But I truly believe that the way to drive down costs nationwide is to focus on prevention and wellness and make sure that we as a society are healthier and doing the routine visits to our primary care physicians to catch things early, to help maintain a healthy lifestyle. And that's truly how we'll drive down the cost in healthcare and have a better, healthier society as well. And I also believe that healthcare plan needs to focus on mental health and behavioral health. I don't believe that you can separate the you know, mental health from physical health and to truly be healthy. So I think if a program did focus on that and it was something that was attainable and the government was willing to support it financially, I think there's quite a few options there. I know that the state of Colorado has proposed a public option, which may have changed now with the COVID response, but there are several different plans out there, and I prefer to call it a total cost of care approach, which involves the things that I just mentioned.
That sounds like a really comprehensive way to address kind of whole person health as opposed to dealing with it from the emergency room going forward.
Yeah, you know, Stacey, I think as a society, our medical system in the past has really been reimbursed on an illness model. So, you know, we are reimbursed when people are sick. When people are sick, that's when they go to their to see their providers or go to the emergency room. We still need to be there for those acute illnesses or unfortunate traumatic events that people may experience. But as a healthcare system, we really need to focus on moving more to a wellness model to try and promote health and wellness. And again, that's better for the individual, better for society, and also brings down cost.
Jason, you were talking about the decrease in overall visits to the Middle Park Health System since the pandemic began. What have you had to do anything like lay off workers, furlough people, or cut hours in response to this?
Yeah, we have not laid anybody off at this point. However, we have had to staff to our volumes. Therefore, some people are getting less hours than they normally would. So that's a process that we're looking at on a daily basis. And I think our staff have really been true champions throughout this process. And, you know, they're on the front lines caring for people, but they've also made some personal sacrifices due to the drop in volume. You know, one thing I would like to say about that, you know, drop in volume, we are starting to see it come back. I think it's important to stress that we are open for business, whether it's a lab test that you've put off, or you need to see your primary care physician to do your annual wellness visit or have your blood pressure checked. Maybe you want to bring your kids in for their wellness check as well. We are open in our emergency rooms in our OR. So we're starting to see those volumes come back. And I would encourage people that if they've put off their health care, now's a good time to start trying to make an appointment so you don't get too far behind on your health concerns or health needs. So we're starting to see a somewhat of an uptick in our volume, which is encouraging, and do foresee some of that growing as the governor starts to back off on some of the mandates that have been out there for public safety.
Has the pandemic and resulting drop in income for the Middle Park Health System impacted the timeline of your expansion projects?
That's a really good question, and the answer is no. We are moving forward with securing finances through the USDA in order to do an expansion of our Granby facility, as well as our Kremling facility. We are also continuing our plans for expansion in Fraser to make sure that people have access in all the communities that we serve. The thing that has probably delayed our groundbreaking on those projects has been more along the lines of COVID and construction companies not being able to do as much work, or maybe not able to travel from county to county to do construction. I think that's really going to start to open up. And right now, our time frame for Granby and Kremling, we're still looking at probably the first or second week of June to do the groundbreaking and getting moving on those two projects.
Jason, you started as the CEO of Middle Park Health in January. How has that transition been? It's kind of been right in tandem with the pandemic.
No, that's true. It certainly has thrown some challenges at me early on. But I'll have to tell you that this transition has gone really quite well. And the number one reason is that Middle Park Health has an amazing group of people working here. They're very dedicated. They're talented. And I have felt very accepted by them and the community. So, you know, no matter what hospital I was working at right now, I would be dealing with the COVID pandemic. I'm just very thankful for the group that is here. And, you know, I came into this hospital and the hospital was in a stable place, and it had good plans to deal with any crisis type situation that came their way. But more importantly, it was stable with a vision for the future. And so that transition, while it's been challenging with COVID, I think it's been something that this team has met head on, and really is something that's very encouraging to me to continue working with this team into the future.
Is there anything else you'd like to share with listeners this morning?
No, you know, I appreciate your time, and I really want to make sure that people know that we are here to serve you, serve this community, and provide access to high-quality care. We are in the process of making ourselves better with a strategic plan and looking well into the future. Please know that we are open for business, whether it's your primary care visit or maybe you needed some radiology testing, lab testing, or you put off a procedure during this time due to safety concerns. We are open, and we are continuing to take significant precautions to protect patients, their families, and our staff as well. And one other last thing I would like to say is this is Nurses Week, and I'd like to say happy Nurses Week to those people that are on the front lines and have really been dealing with a challenging situation over the last several weeks. But to be honest, it's something they do on a daily basis and are truly the heroes of our healthcare system. That being said, next week is Hospital Week, and definitely want to thank all the staff members that make up this team. And it truly takes a team to have a good hospital. And that's, you know, from everybody involved, from the clinical side to housekeeping, dietary, our medical staff. It's truly a team approach. And just really appreciate what they do and really appreciate the community support. A lot of people have gone out of their way to really help us, and that is very appreciated.
Jason Kleckler, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us this morning.
Thank you, Stacey. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. That was Jason Kleckler. He is the CEO of Middle Park Health, and we were talking about the financial impact that the pandemic has had on our local hospitals.